Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Mike Harris on Revolution Radio. We have our simulcast today with Stu Webb in the Micro Effect, and we're on Studio A and B, I've been told. So, Stu, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike, and I can't wait until we try to hook up on the both stations here. And I know that Brett's with you, so I'm just going to tell him that expect a call from our network, Brett. He's going to be calling the same number I'm on right now, except I'm going to be cutting off here, and we'll be hooked up that way. So,
okay, well, very good. And for this half hour, I had Vinny Eastwood scheduled for a month in advance, and we switched from Wednesday to Thursday, and I didn't have the heart to cancel on Vinny because he's a good guy and he's got a good cause. Vinny, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm somewhat fabulous. Thanks for having me back, Mike.
Well, glad to have you. And you know. The same thing that happened to Revolution Radio has happened to you, and that was YouTube nuked our archives. They dumped the whole thing. Why don't you tell us about your tale of woe, what happened to you down there, because it seems like YouTube is attacking or deleting the archives, trying to erase the record of everyone who tries to tell the truth.
It's something that we've kind of gotten used to in the movement. Like in the last 18 months, the network that I was a part of went down, and my Facebook account that was Guerrilla Media Mr. News got taken down. And, of course, my YouTube channel 2 weeks before the New Zealand election got deleted, about 6 days after I published a video called John Key Exposed in 6 Minutes. And that was the banker, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, who literally used to work at the top echelons of the Federal Reserve Bank. They didn't like us posting that on their walls during the height of election season. And I predicted the moment that it got deleted that I would get it back, but it would happen long after the election, long after I could make a difference. And that was quite sad. It was really depressing. But like they say in V for Vendetta, remember the 5th of November. And guess what day they restored my YouTube channel on?
Oh, I'm going to guess yesterday, the 5th of November.
Yeah. I mean, you know, color me tickled pink, you know. It was quite great. I was just down in Queenstown, arguably the world's most picturesque city. I'm going to be splicing through my shots that I got while I was down there to get some of that up on the channel, because it's just a beautiful town. And it seems to me that it's an interesting coincidence, kind of synchronistic, on a full moon on the 5th of November, remembering a guy who tried to blow up Parliament, I finally get my YouTube channel back so I can continue to cause havoc among the scumbaggery that runs, you know, my country. So that's quite good.
Well, just let me make a comment about that. And the comment I have to say is this, is that those of us who are in the truth movement, you know, I don't try to tell anybody what to do, what to think, but what I try to do is I try to deliver accurate information so people can make their own decisions. And by delivering accurate, truthful information, what it does, it destroys the narrative of lies that the powers that be try to foist upon us through our news media, through our politics, through our newspapers, everything. They try to convince us that the part of the story they're telling us is absolute truth, and it isn't. They leave out significant events, they leave out details, they leave out a number of things. And then other times, they tell outright falsehoods and fabrications. And the more we can expose them, the better off we're going to be. And the fact that they've taken Revolution's YouTube archives down, they've taken yours down, that tells me that we're being effective. And it's not just in the USA, folks. It's globally that this movement is having an impact on government everywhere. What do you say, Vinny?
I'd say there's an old, what was it? There's an old saying, how do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it. And when somebody engages in, you know, scumbaggery censorship of some description, then they're kind of acting a bit fascist, don't you think? And it was kind of ironic to observe that I got a huge quantity of interest, thousands upon thousands of hits to my website as a direct result of my YouTube channel being cancelled. I mean, my website used to have, I don't know, maybe 1/5 of the visits that my YouTube channel overall did, with about 2,900 videos. But since my channel got deleted, I have actually managed to balance those out, and my site and now my new restored channel actually have comparable levels of interest in it. So what happened was, is when I was starting to call for help, people were coming out of the woodwork, Mike, like you wouldn't believe. I've got listeners all over the place, plenty of people that I've inspired in talk radio, making videos and bringing me on their shows and things of that nature, just to try and get the word out. Now, I'm not 100% sure if any of that even made a single lick of difference whatsoever, but I'm going to be grateful and thankful anyway, and assume that it was the clincher that made the difference, because even if it didn't make a difference to YouTube, it certainly made a difference to me.
Well, there you go. And one of the things they don't want to acknowledge is that when we give them pushback, they don't want to let us know they respond to it. They try to keep that, oh, we put Vinny back on for other reasons, you know. And, you know, I got your note on Facebook that you sent to me saying, hey, Mike, they've killed my YouTube channel. Can you get me on the air? Can you help me out? You know, I got that. You know, Vinny, you know, you and I have never met in person, but we're friends. And we're friendly, and we're pulling the rope in the same direction for the same goals. So, of course, I'll help you. And, you know, I want these people to be afraid of the populace everywhere. They've taken us for granted. They treat us like cattle, and it's time for us to make them fear us more than we fear them. And so, Vinny, you know, you've got my wholehearted support on
this.
Can I
interrupt? I'm sorry, because you were talking before about giving people accurate information in order to, you know, be able to make good decisions. And I don't do that per se. Like, I don't necessarily go out and research things, but I understand things really, really quickly, and it allows me to make jokes about them. And the reason why I do that is because I'm trying to, like, you're trying to get rid of the misinformation. I'm trying to get rid of the fear that's attached to real information, because reality is a really scary thing, isn't it? And if you refuse to ignore it, then you actually have to deal with it. And it, without laughs, without fun, it makes it that much harder. And it is one big part of our movement that I believe needs addressing, is the fact that we take ourselves a bit seriously and we take the issues really, really seriously. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying is it does need to have a little bit of balance. I mean, just because, you know, we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun.
Well, Vinny, you're right. And one of the things that the powers that be cannot respond to, they have no defense against, and that is if we make fun of them, if we make jokes about them. And particularly, you know, jokes are funny only if they're true. If they're not true, people don't laugh. But when they laugh, but they say, oh boy, that's right, that's exactly what those SOBs do, then we're cutting their nuts off in a way they can't fight back. There's nothing they can say. And it really is one of the most effective ways to destroy the credibility of your adversaries, is by making fun of them.
Yeah, it's the appeal to ridicule. It might be a logical fallacy, but mate, if you're ridiculing somebody who's like really, really quite evil, I don't think there's anything inherently fallacious about that.
No, there isn't. And you know, we look at these guys. I mean, you know, I could tell you Henry Kissinger jokes all day long, but you know, I don't.
Whoa. If you've got a Henry Kissinger joke, I would like to hear it, because
Vinny, Stu, I'll give you a Henry Kissinger joke. You know what his wife says while he's making love to her? Honey, the ceiling needs to be painted.
And have you got one, Mike?
Well,
what call it? Jewish American princess joke.
What three words does Henry Kissinger never want to hear when he's in bed having sex, making love?
What?
Honey, I'm home. All right. But anyway, that's just a little sidebar there. But you know, these are things that
we've
got to
turn these people into the clowns they are. I mean, ultimately, that's the reason why people think that they've got credibility is because they take them seriously. Okay, if you turn the people who are trying to manipulate everybody into a joke. In fact, it was quite funny. I can't remember when it was or who was speaking or what, but they were some description of New World Order scumbag, and they were given a speech in Albuquerque or in a town hall meeting somewhere in the States. I forget exactly where. And when they were speaking, the entire crowd was laughing at him. You know, just literally, it'd be like, I'm going to create jobs. And the crowd goes, ah, you know, because everybody knows that they're so profoundly, insanely out of touch with reality that to just watch them at all say anything whatsoever is a joke. And I get the exact same thing. Like, I don't know how angry it makes you watching Barack Obama speak, but it actually really cheers me up. Because I'll watch it and listen to everything that he says, and everything will make me crack up even better than the punchline of a joke. You know, I'm here to protect Americans from privacy violations. I'm going to restore the economy by signing free trade deals. Obama, you're killing me. What's he gonna joke about next? The NDAA? Oh my God, that's gonna be fantastic. You know, there's nothing to put a smile on your face like a hellfire missile being rammed down your throat.
Well, it's just the thing. These guys, everything they say, you can count on almost the opposite happening. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, the free trade agreements. Those are going to bring jobs to America. No, not quite. Kind of missed the mark. We exported 35 million jobs. Didn't bring a single job here. It really is. It's a tragedy for the American people. And as you know, theatrical comedy and tragedy go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I was sitting next to some Americans on the plane back from Queenstown 2 days ago, and you know, as we were getting off the plane to head off or whatever, we had a good conversation, you know, about how screwed the States is, and I said, okay, guys, you know, enjoy what's left of your country, and they laughed their ass off.
Well, you know, but that's the sad reality. And you know, if we don't laugh at it, if we take ourselves so serious, you know, we'll all be jumping off the sidewalk in front of a bus. You know, I mean, nobody wants to do that, but it really is. If we don't have the fortitude to inject comedy into this, you know, we're going to get depressed. And, by golly, I'd rather see us angry than depressed. Anger is a much more useful emotion. That's a quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger out of the third Terminator movie. Anyway, he said,
he also says, in fact, I've got a recording here. Says, your levity is good. It eases tension and the fear of death.
Well, it really does. But you know, like he said, anger is a more useful emotion than despair. And I don't want the American people to despair. I want them angry. And if they can't be angry, I want them to laugh at the guys who are trying to do this to them.
Them angry, because then they'll make a mistake.
And make, you know, absolutely, absolutely. And nothing is funnier than watching a politician speak the truth.
And get flustered when he's being heckled.
Oh, it is. It's downright funny. But, you know, in the U.S., what they've done now is if you go to these town hall meetings, and you ask a pointed question, or you heckle the speaker, they're arresting you now. The cops will come over and they'll ask you to leave. If you don't leave, they'll put handcuffs on you, and you'll end up spending the night in the hooskow, another term for jail. And you know, then they'll probably release you the next day. You have to appear in court, and they're going to cost you, you know, $1,000-$1,500 that nobody has to spend right now. But they're really doing all they can. And Jim Dean, who is just on before you, his strategy is don't go alone. Don't go to these town meetings alone. If you go in a group of 10 or 12 or 15. And if he won't answer your question, have somebody else ask the question. If he won't answer that question, have a third person answer the question. And then if the cops try to arrest any one, all 15 of you converge on the cops and sort of, you know, diffuse their energy that way. But it's gotten to the point where suppression of free speech in this country it's an ongoing and continuous crime, and it's something that we as a people cannot tolerate and cannot put up with any longer.
Yeah, and sometimes the thing that will keep a council meeting, and this is something we've learned in the local councils, afraid and on the money, is actually just sitting there, a private citizen with a notepad, just sitting there taking notes during the council meetings. They really hate that. I mean, I got thrown out of a council meeting one time because I was filming silently in the corner with the tripod. Like filming an open public meeting, and they throw me out. Isn't that interesting? What are they trying to hide?
Everything. I mean, well, you know, the point of view that we have here that we've developed with veterans today is that this country is run by organized crime. And it may not be, you know, organized crime as you think about in the Godfather movie, but it's pretty darn close. And the one thing that crime needs to succeed is stealth and secrecy and, you know, being able to remain hidden. Because if people know, let's say you sit down to play cards with four or five friends or four or five guys you don't know, and you're playing cards and all of a sudden you notice one guy is cheating. Are you going to continue to play cards with that guy? Are you going to break his neck and get your money back? Or are you just going to get up and leave? The last thing you're going to do is continue to play the game. Well, they need us to continue to play the game, because if we stop playing the game, then they've got nobody to fleece. And so that's really how it is. And so,
well, you can't win a rigged game. And I think it's sort of like this. Somebody asked me on the radio yesterday, Vinny, who do you think's going to be the next president? And I go, I don't know who the candidates are, but off the top of my head, it would be whoever the bankers finance more than the other guy.
Well, that's the sad rule of this country. 96% of the time, the candidate with the most money wins. But what our fear here is in the U.S., we just had this election, and it's pretty obvious that Sheldon Adelson, the gambling, drug laundering, money laundering, drug dealing, prostitution whoremonger, who left the U.S. to live in Macau because he's, you know, under investigation here, bought seven Senate seats here for the Republicans by financing them more. And, you know, that's not the kind of government this country is built on. That's not what we want. We don't want that type of influence in this country. Nobody does. Nobody decent wants that. But yet that's what we get. You know, how do we put up with these guys? And, you know, I mean,
just don't lose your sense of humor about it, you know. And I think that's the difficulty that a lot of people deal with is they plunge themselves headlong into this movement. They want to change. They want to make something happen. But they realize that you can't actually change the entire country's mentality towards voting and chemtrails and manufacturing and exports and imports and the economy and the fake debt and everything overnight. And it gets really depressing once you come to that realization that this isn't something that I can just do part time and have a big effect in. This is something I actually am now forced to do all the time and expect failure, right? I've started to expect failure from the movement. And in so doing, I find it very encouraging because I'm often proved wrong when people have successes repealing certain laws, like in, I think it was Argentina or Bolivia or something, they kicked Monsanto out. And we're having these little victories all over the place. And one of the troubles we have is that there's an over-reporting of bad news and an under-reporting of good news, right? There has to be some sort of field of encouragement because it can't just all be bad, 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 bad news all the time because that demotivates you, right? I mean, if you're going to inform somebody, motivate them to become more informed. I was having a friend with who's part of a political party here. And he says to me, Vinny, you'll never convince me that chemtrails are real. And I go, never? Are you telling me that you'd probably, that all the evidence in the world or whatever that you haven't quite looked at yet won't make a difference once you review this evidence and you don't even know what it is? He's like, ooh, well, actually, that might make a thing. Because you can just open the door for people, but they are the one that has to walk through it, as Morpheus says. You can't expect the world, but what you can do is expect something of yourself, a moral obligation. Am I here to serve myself exclusively, selfishly, or am I here to do, as Thomas Jefferson said, as a patriot's duty to protect his country from his government? That's inherently the role that I choose to take, is the role of the guardian. You've got to stand watch over your people, your nation, and everything that's going on. But at the same time, you can't become that very enemy that you fight against. The media is pumping out fear 24 hours a day. And why wouldn't they? Fear is popular. It gets people into a response. Two things sell.
Fear and greed. And, you know, we've got plenty of...
No, that's wrong. Fear and sex.
Well, fear and greed is how the old saying goes. There's the two things that sell. And, you know, I kind of agree with that, that, sex sells too. Don't get me wrong. There, nothing is more distracting than a pretty girl on a television commercial. But, you know, I'm taking this, you know, Vinny, this is good for me. This is a pep talk for me, because, you know, I fight this battle all day, every day. This is really kind of become my full-time job now. I'm only on the air for 2 hours, but I work on this for, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day. And, you know, there's a lot of failure. You look at this election we just came out of. Like I said to Jim Dean earlier, they didn't give us a good choice. You know, if we supported Democrats, we're going to get 55 million new illegal alien citizens. If we support Republicans, we're outsourcing our foreign policy to Israel. So, you know, we don't have a choice. We're never offered a candidate that's going to do the right thing for the American people, to where the American people are going to benefit.
The idea is to disempower you and to think that you actually need a candidate in order to solve your problems. But I believe, kind of like Gandalf did in the first Hobbit movie, great evil isn't always matched by great power. In fact, it's the little things that we do every day, the simple acts of kindness and love, that keep the darkness at bay. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, Vinny, hey, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Glad your YouTube channel is back up. And let's get you back on over here in the next few weeks or so, okay?
Sure, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, Vinny, be well. Take care.